just so you boys know, and you have to behave yourself, that Ann Horton, the mayor pro tem of Bryan, is in the house.
Okay. Oh, so, man, I knew I should have worn my shoes.
Yeah, I know you should have. Yeah, exactly. All right, so you have a dog? Do you have dogs?
Yes, I do.
How many dogs do you have?
Two.
Two, what do you have?
We have a pound puppy named Greta.
Uh-huh.
She's my daughter's dog, and she's probably or almost 11 or 12 years old.
Yeah.
And my dog is a Westie, and her name's Lily.
Ah. So did you get to watch any of the Westminster Dog Show the last
no.
two nights?
Yeah. No, and I love that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun to do that. Now, you did a... We'll do more dog stories in a minute. Guys, this is a story that I meant to do earlier this morning, and we got distracted. We don't ever do that, I know.
No.
If eating too much is making you fat, this is what we're going to talk about. We got sidetracked on, I don't know. We were talking about the names of dogs. That's right. I remember that now. Never mind. Okay. If you're eating too much and it's making you fat, a company in England has just the thing for you. The Metro says, Eat Fit Cutlery. This is a knife, a fork, and a spoon set that helps you burn calories because each piece of silverware is attached to a small dumbbell. It's like you're doing weight training while you eat. The knife and the fork weigh about 2 pounds, and the spoon weighs 4.5 pounds. Ah.
Oh, wow.
The three-piece set retails for $150. It's designed specifically for gluttons who need to work out.
I've got a picture here, and the tiny little dumbbells or barbells are they're part of the handle, and the person standing there with the fork and knife in their hand, just like you would hold dumbbells. They're just stuck on the end.
Here's my thought is if you start using regular knives, forks, and spoons, and you've gotten used to the heavier ones, aren't you going to suddenly jam a fork up your nose? I mean, that could be dangerous.
I can see that happening, yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. I'm not sure about that. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to do that story. We actually have a dog story. You need to tell us this dog story because you hauled a dog up to Oklahoma, didn't you?
Yes, we did at Christmas.
Yeah, that was some people, their dog wandered down here or got down here
somehow. We don't know how cruised his way down to Bryan.
Yeah.
But a few days before Christmas, Perry and Bishop, a friend of mine, found Cruz wandering the streets, and he got taken to our Bryan Animal Center. And they were able to locate his parents because he had a dog tag on.
Okay, yeah.
So we made a few calls.
Of course, getting him home would have been part of the problem, right?
Part of the problem, yes. But, of course, I told you my daughter likes to hang out over at the animal center. Uh-huh. So she came home one day and said, hey, you want to be part of a Christmas miracle? And I thought, well, that sounds like fun. So we put Cruz in the back end of our car, and we took him back to Oklahoma City because that's where we were headed for Christmas.
Now, how big a dog is Cruz?
Cruz was a big boy. He probably, I don't know, 40, 50 pounds.
Oh, my, yeah, good enough.
Sweet-natured dog, and I gave him a Kong stuffed with peanut butter that kept him busy for a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
And
how many times do you have to stop to let Cruz take care of him?
Only once.
Oh, well,
we stopped in Fort Worth, and Cruz got out and got back in, and we reloaded the Kong, and we were good to go.
All right.
It was a lot of fun. We got up there to Oklahoma City. There were two TV stations waiting for us.
Oh, how fun.
We were big news there for a while.
Sure,
we had
absolutely.
Our 15 minutes.
Well, very good. That's well, you know, the mayor of Oklahoma City used to live here. Mick Cornett.
Right.
Yeah. Mick was my sports director when I was the news director at Channel 3 a long time ago. So I gave him his first job in TV, and he's gone on to better things, and I'm still, you know, in Bryan.
Well, he's
in
government.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, speaking of this government thing, because that's why we have you here this morning, let's talk first of all about, I know something that's near and dear to your heart, and that's the Half Pint Library thing that y'all do with Half Price Books every year.
Yes, we kind of kicked it off last night with Half Price Books, and I hope that this year the two cities are able to put in more books for children than we've ever done in the past. I think if you start reading to a child, from day one, or even pre-day one, you really give them a leg up on getting a good education.
Well, and you do. You hear the stories about, you read the same story to your child over and over and over again, and if you try to change the story, they'll remember it.
Absolutely.
They really will. But more importantly, it does. It gives them an interest in reading, which can stand them in good stead, obviously, for the rest of their lives.
Right. I think it's a lot more important to read to a child than to encourage them to watch TV.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You got the interaction anyway, plus
Excellent.
The fact that they learn to... And again, okay, maybe you read on an iPad now instead of a a book, but
whatever.
Read.
Just make sure you, and, yeah. and then you have that good time that you get to spend with your child.
Sure, sure. Now, this goes on until the end of March, is
March,
that right?
Yeah, right.
March 31st. Mm-hmm. So, now what do they do? Just
so you can go over, take some books, gently used or new books, over to Half Price Books, and I understand they're going to match us book for book.
Oh, great.
So this is an added bonus this year. So please check your old bookshelves or whatever, or go out and buy a book and take it. Go to half price and get yourself a book and contribute it.
There you go. Ann Horton, the Mayor Pro Tem of Bryan, joining us this morning. A couple of things of note took place at council yesterday. Something that was already in place having to do with mobile homes, what mobile home parks had to pay as far as fees are concerned for upkeep and maintenance, and y'all had a look at that and made some changes?
Yes, we did. And we had had a fee structure in place from back in the 50s, $25 for registering the mobile home park and $1 per home.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a little outdated, and it certainly wasn't keeping up with what our expenses were to inspect the homes and inspect the parks. Then August, I think, of 2010, they brought back another fee structure, and it seemed really, really onerous, really oppressive for the mobile home park
Especially
owners.
For small ones, right?
Especially yeah. for small ones, yes. So we took had them take another look at it, and last night we voted to approve the new fee rates, and that's $10 per mobile home pad, I think they call it.
Sure.
And if you do a really good job and you abide by all the rules and the ordinances and regulations, we'll give you half of that back.
Oh, well, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and again, that's initiative for them to do the right thing.
Certainly.
An incentive for them to do that. The other thing is you acted to decide to not act, having to do with the color schemes of some of the buildings here. Tell us about that.
Correct. Well, that was actually on our agenda, but before we got there, we were notified that that had been pulled for further consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission, so we did not look at it last night. It'll come back up probably in March sometime.
Okay, so as one member of council, kind of what you're thinking on this concept?
I think it's a good concept. I think that we do need to keep an eye on that sort of thing, just because what I do to my structure impacts has an impact on what's going on around me. If I choose to go out there and do something kind of weird, and I am a color person, and I do love colors. And you can ask anybody who's seen some of the stuff in my house. But I think that we have to be good neighbors. And when we put up something that's going to cause harm or cause property values to go down around us, then that's not fair to those who are nearby. So I think this is why we are really seriously wanting to have some sort of say in what colors are used in the city.
Martin Zimmerman was in. We talked about this months ago as it first surfaced so that we could understand. And Martin did a good job of explaining to us the steps that went through architects and actually talking to the city of College Station and things that they're doing. My concern still is there are certainly some cultural situations where bright, vivid colors are part of their heritage, if you will, part of their commercial venture. And I'm a little concerned about limiting that situation for people who feel like they want to have some bright and vibrant color that might not fit the palette.
And then you can go to the planning and zoning. You can go and discuss it with them or discuss it with the development people and see if that is something that we can do. I don't want to make this so rigid that we can't bend.
And again, I'm going to base this on what I saw in the newspaper today. I'm sorry I didn't look to see who wrote the story. But concern also about the boxy look of some buildings. And I understand, you know, a long time ago, fast food franchises were very distinctive because of the architecture, the red roof of Doriener Schnitzel, the big windmill for Zyder Z. Those things then became, the city said, nah, we don't want that to happen because if that company goes out of business, then we have this giant red roof or we have this giant windmill and nobody's going to want to move in there. So they kind of went with a uniform building code for commercial. Are we backing down from that now?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that we need to have some kind of interest in the facades of our buildings. You know, we just can't have a flat front building. A little interest makes it more attractive, makes our city more attractive.
Do you feel like Bryan has been hurt in some ways under the situation that we have right now, and that's the impetus for making this change?
I don't know if we've necessarily been hurt, but I think that we can do something right now to ensure that we're not in the future.
Okay. Ann Horton, the Mayor Pro Tem, with us this morning. So what do you got for us this morning?
Okay.
I know you've got some goodies.
I do. City of Bryan Animal Center, we're having a special adoption event that started yesterday, and it's called All We Need Is Love.
Oh, very
nice. We're offering free adoptions and with the donation of an item like food, treats, toys, blankets, money. We'll take that, too. And adoptions, which are normally $75, they're free. This will go on through the end of February. And also, we want to invite people to come to our open house grand opening celebration on Saturday, February 25th, from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Have you gotten the Animal Center's been open for, I don't know, how many months?
That was open in December when I picked up Cruz.
About 4 months, 5 months, something
November,
like that.
November, October.
Yeah. Have you gotten a report on how they're doing as far as a budgetary situation? Because obviously it's tough to get something started. And you're starting from a dead standstill right there. Have you gotten any report, or do you know when you're going to get the first report on the Animal Center?
I think we have, but I couldn't tell you exactly what it looked like. I do know that we're doing well. The center looks great, and we're getting a lot of animals adopted, and our euthanasia rate, I understand, is down.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy about that.
And the most important thing people need to understand now, because there's more than one place to take an animal, geography, where you live, does make a difference.
Yes.
And so if you go to the Brazos Animal Shelter and they tell you, no, you can't bring that here, or you go to the Bryan Animal Center and they tell you, don't get mad at those people. Understand that those are just kind of new rules that we're operating under.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. All right, what else?
City of Bryan is accepting police officer applications for entry-level and certified police officers. And that application deadline is Wednesday, March 21st. And we invite those who are interested to please apply.
There you go. If you want to drive fast and carry a gun, there's your chance.
Hot dog.
Hey, thanks for joining us
this
morning.
Thank you.
Ann Horton, she's the Mayor Pro Tem of the City of Bryan. We visit with the mayors on alternate Wednesdays. The community interview segment is brought to you by Mar Eye Center. Have a cataract or need other vision correction? Call them today at 776-7564.